بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد continue our discussion with regards to the Ma'moom and what is required for him to recite from the Quran while he's praying behind the Imam, the Ma'moom. We know he is the one who is praying behind the Imam. We have seen in the previous class that this issue here is something that the people of knowledge have differed with regards to from the companions radiallahu anhum until our day. And so long as a believer he is following one of the positions of the upright and noble scholars in this affair, then he is upon khayr, he is upon goodness. And the one who has the ability to look into the evidences, into the text that the people of knowledge present in this issue, and to research this affair until it becomes clear for him which one is the strongest and which one is correct, then he will do that. Then it is incumbent upon him to do that and to read these evidences and to look into this affair. If he has the ability, if he has foundations of knowledge that he's working with and he's able to read the statements of the ulama with regards to this and understand their evidences and the ways that they use them and the points of proof and the likes like this in these evidences and how they establish the particular issue based upon these proofs, then he will do that. And then he will follow what is apparent to him from the haqq and from the truth with regards to this issue. As for if he's not able to do that, and he does not have those usul and those fundamentals of knowledge qualifying him to look into these statements and to determine for himself which one is strong and which one is not, then he will follow one of the upright scholars in this affair. And his prayer is good, alhamdulillah. So in the affairs such as this one, where the people of knowledge have differed greatly, then this difference goes back to their ijtihadat and their striving to understand these evidences and the likes like that. So this is something where the differing is permissible and allowed. In an issue like this, whether the Ma'moom should recite behind the Imam, or whether he should recite it, whether he should recite whenever the Imam is silent or he cannot hear him, and then be silent whenever he can hear the recitation of the Imam. All of these affairs, they go back to the differences of opinions and the understanding of the text of this issue. So therefore a believer, he will choose one or the other, and based upon knowledge or based upon blind following, and he will not blame another. And the point is that these affairs here, that the people of knowledge have differed with regards to them, so there's no blame on this affair. And the companions themselves, radiallahu anhum, they have differed about this. And there's no blame upon them in that. This is not from the usul of the deen. And the companions, radiallahu anhum, they did not differ with regards to aqidah and creed. And the salaf as-salih, likewise, the pious predecessors after them, from the tabi'un and the atba' tabi'in, and the likes, they did not differ with regards to creed and belief. But there are differences of opinions with regards to many of the issues in fiqh and the understanding of how to apply the actions of worship, and likewise with regards to contracts and dealings and covenants and marriage and divorce and the likes like this in buying and trading. Many of the issues, there's differences of opinions with regards to this affair. So a believer, if he sees that another person is following another opinion contrary to his, then he will know that if it's from the opinions of the people of knowledge, then he is upon goodness and he is upon khayr. For example, if he finds that he should recite the Fatiha behind the Imam, and this is what he follows, whether he follows that based upon knowledge and evidence, looking into the book and the Sunnah and the statements of the people of knowledge and the clarification from them, or whether he's blind following. Alhamdulillah, so long as he is upon the way of the people of the Sunnah in general, he's upon khair. He's upon khair, yarhamuhullah. And if he finds that somebody else is contrary to that and he does not recite, then he will not blame him and he will not find fault with him and he will not dispute with him and argue with him and have a falling out with him and split their ranks because of these affairs like this. There should be no dissension and no hardship in the hearts of the believers because of differences of opinions with regards to the issues of fiqh. Whenever the difference of opinion is strong and both positions have evidences that are authentic and correct that they're relying upon, So in this type of situation, there should be no hardship or animosity in the hearts of the believers towards one another with regards to any different. This here is allowed. This is something that's very important. Something that is very important. Now, if some students or those who are able to look into those evidences, they wanted to discuss this affair, and not in order to overcome one another and debate, but rather to seek the truth and to research the issue together and to discuss it in an academic manner with knowledge and evidence and manners and conduct and a pure and good intention, then this is okay. But as for going back and forth, and so-and-so said this and Sheikh said that, or Sheikh so-and-so said this and this one and that, and arguing and quarreling in the affairs of the deen, then this is nothing but wasting time, and it's not what from the way of the people of knowledge. And it's not from the way of the people of knowledge. It's not from the way of the people of knowledge. So with this being said, the issue here that we have studied previously is that the position that Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and that statement or those issues that we discussed yesterday was in Majmu'a Fatawa in volume number 23, beginning on page 275, for anyone who wanted to review that or go over that or research that affair from his statement, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But to summarize, we see that he established this affair with evidences and proofs from the Quran and from the Sunnah and also from the Qiyas. Al-Quranu wa Sunnatu wa Qiyas. Naam, the Quran is clear, the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the Sunnah, any of the authentic narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and al-Qiyas is an analogy and using reasoning to understand the affairs. And that will be based upon the principles in the deen and not by desires and whims. So to summarize, we see that the position is that the one who is praying behind the imam, if the imam is reciting out loud, he will be silent and he will listen. If the imam is praying out loud and reciting out loud, then he will be silent and he will listen and he will not recite the Fatiha. And the recitation of the imam is a recitation for him and suffices him in that. But as for the case, if he cannot hear the imam, even if he's reciting out loud, but he cannot hear him or he can barely hear him because of a distance or a problem in his hearing and the likes like this, now he will recite. Or if the imam is not reciting out loud, for example, if it's a prayer that is silent, salatun sirriya, then he will recite to himself. He will recite the whole prayer to himself, the Fatiha and a surah after that in the first two rak'ah, and he will pray in that manner. So from the evidences of the Quran, he mentioned, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. And whenever the Quran is recited, then listen to it attentively and be silent, so that you may obtain mercy. And also from the Sunnah, there are many narrations from them. The one that was the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari in Sahih Muslim, radiyallahu anhu, that he mentioned, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا وَإِذَا قَرَأَ فَأَنصِتُوا. With a qara'a fa'ansitu, that whenever the imam, he makes the takbir, you make the takbir, and whenever he writes, then you be silent. And this is in Sahih Muslim. And likewise, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has come that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that man kana lahu imamu faqira'atu al-imami lahu qira'a. Like this is the wording, faqira'atu al-imami lahu qira'a, that whoever is praying behind the imam, then the recitation of the imam is a recitation for him. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has authenticated that narration, and the people of knowledge have spoken about that narration, and some of them have mentioned that it's weak. Sheikh Al-Islam likewise mentioned that it's strong enough to be used as a proof, and he used it as an evidence as well, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in this affair. And as for the qiyas, the analogy, that is that it is better. It is better for a believer, whenever the Quran is being recited, for him to listen to it, than to recite himself If the Quran is being recited, he should listen to it and benefit from that recitation, especially whenever he's in the salah. And if someone was reciting the Quran outside of the salah and he did not listen to it, he would not be considered following that recitation or having care for it or concern for it. If somebody was reciting somewhere in the masjid and someone was not paying any attention to him, he would not be considered following that person. He would not be considered following that person. So how about in the prayer, whenever we have been commanded to follow the imam, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ, that the imam, he was only made to be followed. So the one who's reciting by himself, he's not following the recitation. He's not following the recitation. So therefore, whenever the imam is reciting, it's better for him to listen so that he can benefit. And likewise, that has been revealed in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And this is the purpose of the prayer. And establish the prayer for my remembrance. For my remembrance. So you need to remember Allah and to ponder over His words, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this cannot occur whenever one is reciting and another is reciting at the same time. It's not possible. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And you will find that the one who is reciting many times, he will hasten to recite his recitation, and he will not ponder not over the Fatiha that he is reciting himself, and not over the recitation of the imam. Rather, he's busy. And like this, Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned to be cited and to listen. فَإِنَّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شُغْلًا. Because whenever somebody is in prayer, he's preoccupied, and he's with pondering and reflecting and remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the best of that is to ponder over the recitation. So therefore, it's better to be cited and to listen to the recitation of the imam than it is to recite it to preoccupy oneself at that time. And this is whenever he's reciting. As for whenever the imam is silent and reciting silently to himself, then the fact that the ma'mum, he recites himself and ponders over the words of Allah himself, this is better for him than being silent. So therefore we see that, and from these evidences here, what is correct, if the imam is reciting out loud, then the ma'mum, he will be silent and listen. And if the imam is reciting silently, or if the ma'mum cannot hear the imam, then he will recite. He will recite to himself. After this affair here, some of the people of knowledge, and with regards to this issue from them, Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he has this position. He mentioned that it's recommended, just in case, to go ahead and to recite if a person can find a place to recite. If he can find a place where the imam is silent. Yani that, although Shaykh al-Fawzan, he mentioned that this position here is the most just and is gathering the evidences. Yani this issue here that we have discussed. But he mentioned that if a person is able to find time to recite the Fatiha, yani whenever the imam is quiet, then he should do that. But this is another position the people of knowledge, they mention that he should do that. And even those who mention that it's an obligatory, this is what they say, أَنَّهُ يَقْرَأَ الْفَاتِحَ فِي سَكَتَاتِ الْإِمَامِ, that the ones who make it an obligation to recite the Fatiha for the ma'mum, that he will recite it whenever the imam is silent. But in reality, there's no time during the salat where the imam is silent, where it's proper and possible for a believer to recite the Fatiha correctly. Because what has come in the sunnah, what is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anna lahu saktatain, that he has two places that he's silent in the prayer. There's two times whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would be silent in the prayer. The first time is after he makes the takbir. And this is a long moment of silence. And this issue has been discussed previously. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he asked about the sakta. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed him about dua al-istiftah. So at this time, the Prophet, he's not reciting the Quran. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather, he's reciting dua al-istiftah. The only other sakta or moment of silence that has come authentically, that the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this, is whenever the imam, he finishes the recitation entirely. He recites the Fatiha, and then he will recite another surah, and then he will be silent for a brief moment to get his breath, and then he makes ruku'. This has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for after the Fatiha, he says Ameen. After the Fatiha, he finishes the recitation, then he says Ameen, and then he will take a breath and begin reciting again the next surah. So there's no moment where it's long enough for a believer to actually recite the Fatiha without racing or without mixing up his recitation with the imam. And likewise, along with this, it's not legislated for the imam to wait for the ma'mum. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned this likewise, that the imam, he should wait. He should recite the Fatiha, and then he should wait a brief moment, and he should give some time before he starts reciting another recitation. Have we heard of this before? Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the imam, he will recite the Fatiha, and then he will wait. Then he will wait, and he letting the people behind him recite the Fatiha, and he giving them time to do that. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this has never come. And none of the narrations, and this was not narrated, that he would do this, and none of the companions, they mentioned that they would wait. And also Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned also that in reality, this is turning the whole prayer upside down and backwards. And now, instead of the people praying behind the imam, following the imam is waiting for them and he's following them. And this is not the case. إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُتَمَّ بِهِ The imam, he was only made and placed there as a leader to be followed. So the imam, he does not wait and follow the ma'mumin. Rather, he leads and he is followed. He leads and he is followed. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned a similar affair likewise. That this is something that if it was a reality and that the companions, they would lead the prayer and then they would wait and let the others recite behind the imam, that it would have been narrated. This is something from the great affairs of the deen, that this is something that they would have transmitted, and it's not transmitted from none of them. So therefore, Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned this is an innovation. It's an innovation. And this is his position here with regards to this. And Shaykh al-Albani, likewise, he mentioned to wait for that. That's also an innovation. This is not found in the narrations, to wait for the imam, to wait like this on purpose for the people behind him to recite the Fatiha. And he said that this innovation came about because of the people forcing their opinion and position and trying to find a place for the obligation of the Fatiha to fit into the situation of the affair. But there's no evidence for that. And this is not something minor that would be any left or neglected. Rather, if that had occurred, then the companions, they would have narrated that. And they didn't do that. So therefore, likewise, in the time, there's no really time in the silent spots of the imam to recite. So therefore, the issue goes back to pondering and benefiting from the recitation. If the recitation is out loud and he can hear it, then he will ponder and he will benefit from that. And if it's not out loud and he cannot hear it, then he will recite to himself and he will ponder and benefit from that. Is the issue clear? If somebody else, he finds the other position, we see this is the position that we mentioned now. If somebody recites, what do we say about him? No problem. Either he's going to have other evidences with him and he's following the position of Imam al-Shafi'i, and also from the companions Umar and other than him, radiallahu anhu, and he's good, alhamdulillah, and his prayer is good, and we won't dispute about that. These are affairs here that you don't dispute about. Either he's following evidences and proof of those people, or he's blind following one of them, alhamdulillah. He's not blind following the innovators. He's not blind following the people of falsehood and desires. He's upon the path of the people of the sunnah, and this is what is required for him. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ That's the obligation for him. And to ask the people of knowledge if he does not know. So he's upon khayr, alhamdulillah. So we don't dispute about this issue. That's clear? The likes like this. This is very important. I like to reemphasize this affair because we find that the shaitan has busied us, Ahl al-Sunnah, with ourselves, with affairs like this, and other affairs that are even more tafi, more any disputes and the likes, and name calling and splitting in the ranks and the likes like this, all because of ignorance. Rather, the imams greater than us and greater than the imams that are alive today from us have differed about these affairs, and they didn't divide and they didn't dispute and they didn't boycott one another. Rather, they respected each other in these affairs. And so these are affairs where the differing is lighter. And the differing, no doubt, is no good. But in these issues like this, then there's room for that. Alhamdulillah. So this is the case. So from the hadith, the chapter that the author mentioned, the hadith of Ubadah ibn As-Samit radiyallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا صَلَاتَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَأْ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ We see the understanding of that with regards to the imam and the munfarid and the ma'mum, yani the reality of this affair and how that is understood. With regards to here, لَا صَلَاتَ, the people of knowledge, they mentioned, and negating the salat. So this means every salat. Yani, so whether it's an obligatory salah or a non-obligatory salah, or whether it's a salah that has ruku' and sujood, or it's one that does not have ruku' and sujood, you have to recite the Fatiha in all of them. You have to recite the Fatiha in all of them. Which is a salah that does not have ruku' or sujood? Salat al-janazah. So if somebody did not recite al-Fatiha in the janazah, like the imam, for example, what would we say? La salat al-iman lam yaqra bi Fatiha al-kitab. Now he has to recite the Fatiha, even in the salat al-janazah. So this is the case for that. So this understanding, it is in all of these affairs. Also from this narration, we see that the Fatiha, it has a great virtue. We see that al-Fatiha, it has a great virtue. And that is that it's an obligation and a requirement for everyone who is praying to recite it. It's an obligation and a requirement for everyone who is praying to recite it. And the prayer is not correct. And the prayer is the greatest pillar after the Shahadatain. After the Shahadatain. And that prayer is not correct except with the recitation of the Fatiha. So there, it's an obligation to learn it. It's an obligation to learn how to recite it. And it's an obligation to learn its meanings in general. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's called Fatihatul Kitab because it is the first thing that the eyes fall on whenever you open the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the first thing that the eyes fall on whenever you open the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's the first chapter. And the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is opened with Al-Fatiha. So that's the meaning of Al-Fatiha. From Fatiha Yaftahu. Iftah. Fathan. Fathan. Al-Fatiha. It is the opener or the opening. And it's the opening. Likewise, it's mentioned that it's Al-Fatiha because it's also the opening of the prayer. The opening of the prayer and the opening of the recitation of the salah. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned likewise that Al-Fatiha has many names. It has many names. وَكَثْرَةُ الْأَسْمَاءِ تَدُلُّ عَلَى شَرَفِ الْمُسَمَّى كَثْرَةُ الْأَسْمَاءِ تَدُلُّ عَلَى شَرَفِ الْمُسَمَّى. That's something that has lots of names. Lots of names, different names, or attributes and characteristics for one thing. This is an indication of the virtue of that thing, or the greatness of that thing, or the status or rank of that affair. And so from that, Al-Fatiha, it has many names. Like it's also known as Al-Kitab, wa Al-Qur'an. And also it's known as As-Saba' Al-Mathani, and Al-Qur'an Al-Azim. And this is the greatest chapter in the Qur'an. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned that this is the greatest chapter. The greatest chapter in the Quran is Al-Fatiha. A'azam suratin fil Qur'ani suratu Al-Fatiha. Wa'azamu ayatin fi kitabi Allahi ayatu Al-Kursi. So the greatest chapter is the chapter of Al-Fatiha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there is As-Saba' al-Mathani wal Qur'an al-Azim alladhi utituhu. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I was given. It's the seven oft repeated verses and the great and magnificent Qur'an that he was given, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned that there are the seven oft-repeated verses because they are repeated in every prayer. They are repeated in every prayer. And likewise, the Fatiha has other names as well. Who knows some of them? Ar-Ruqya. Ar-Ruqya, the cure. Naam, the cure. Because it's a means for curing. If a person, he has an ailment or a sickness in his body, and the likes like that, it's legislated to recite the Fatiha. And Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that he did that, rahimahullah ta'ala, sometime in Mecca. And he did not have any other means of medication and the likes like that, but he would recite the Fatiha on himself. And he mentioned that he found great benefit and great cure and an amazing manner and blessing from this by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentioned likewise that whenever others would come to him complaining about ailments, he would lead them to this. He would lead them to this, meaning he would inform them and teach them about this affair and tell them to recite on themselves. He would lead them to this, meaning they would come to him, but he would not recite on them, and he would lead them to this affair and he would have them recite on themselves. And this is what is best for a believer, with regards to al-ruqya, that if he's sick, he will recite on himself. He will recite on himself, and he will not go asking the people or looking for others to recite, but rather he is the one who is in need, and he is the one who is in difficulty. And if he were sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal in that dire need and in his trust and reliance, then it would be the most benefit for him and from him by calling on Allah sincerely and reciting on himself. So this is from the names of Al-Fatiha, Al-Ruqya, and it's established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And likewise, Al-Kitab, the mother of the book. We're going to get to this one, inshaAllah. Also, it's called as-salah. As-salah. Because it's an obligation to recite it. It's come in a hadith Qudsi from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah said, قَسَّمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْنِ, that I have divided the salat between me and between my slave into two parts. And then he mentioned the Fatiha. And he referring to the Fatiha. So it's known as as-salah because it's the greatest pillar, or from the greatest pillars of the prayer. And likewise, it's known as Suratu Al-Hamd, the Surah of Al-Hamd, the Surah of Praise, because it begins with Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we see here that this Surah here is a great Surah, great chapter, rather the greatest chapter in the Quran. And for this reason, it's mentioned from its names, Al-Kitab, wa Al-Quran, yani the foundation of the book, the foundation of the book. And that is because the Fatiha, it contains in general that which the rest of the Quran explains in detail. The Fatiha, it contains in general, in summary, and summarization, that which the rest of the Quran explains in detail. So from Al-Baqarah all the way to An-Nas, this is the detailed clarification of Al-Fatiha. This is the detailed clarification of Al-Fatiha. That's the meaning of Al-Kitab. Al-Kitab is the foundation of the book, meaning it contains in general and summarizes all of the meanings that are contained, contained in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. All of the details that go back to this affair. Some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned about this, and that is because they need to summarize the Quran and what is discussed, what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has mentioned in His book. Yani from subjects and topics could be summarized in three affairs, and that is the first, at-tawheed wal-aqeedah. This is discussed in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah, He clarifies the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and His greatness and His magnificence and His rububiyyah and His uluhiyyah and His asma'i wa sifat. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified the tawheed in the proper creed. Yani in His book, these are the affairs that one will find whenever they read the book of Allah. First and foremost, at-tawheed wal-aqeedah. Also, whenever one reads the book of Allah, he will find as well al-ahkam, al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah. And this is with regards to al-awamir wal-nawahi. He will find regulations. He will find rulings and regulations, legislative rulings and regulations. And this is the commandments and prohibitions. The commandments and prohibitions, that which is permissible and that which is impermissible. All that which is allowed and that which is not allowed. That which is good and that which is foul. All of this is found here in the ahkam al-shar'iyyah that are clarified in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the third affair is al-akhbar, al-sadiqah, the true information and news of the previous nations. The news of the previous nations. And likewise, the stories of the prophets and the messengers and the nations along with them. And also the affairs of the future and the likes like this. All of this has been clarified in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani the stories of the prophets and the affairs that occurred with the previous nations, and likewise the righteous and what occurred with them and those who followed those prophets, all of this is clarified in the book of Allah. And likewise, all of this is summarized in Al-Fatiha. We see that? Where is the first issue? At-Tawheed. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. This is all about the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is all about the Tawheed of Allah, clarifying His Lordship and His magnificence and His greatness and His power. And He's the Creator and the Provider and the Sustainer and the Giver of life and death, yani of the entire universe and all of creation. It belongs to Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And these are from His names and attributes, yani, and that He is the most gracious and the most merciful and kind, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And all of the praise belongs to Him because of His beautiful names and perfect attributes, and likewise because of His blessings. So all the praise belongs to Him. This is at-tawheed wal-aqeedah. At-tawheed wal-aqeedah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. What is this? This is also tawheed. This is also tawheed. But also this is any ibadah. What's the reality of ibadah? Iyaka na'budu. You alone do we worship. What's the reality of ibadah? Complying to the commandments and staying away from the prohibitions. The greatest commandment, to worship Allah alone with no partners. And the greatest prohibition, to leave off shirk. And the evidences for that are well known in the book of Allah. So, iyyaka na'budu, this is with regards to worship. And the reality of worship is complying to commandments and prohibitions, meaning following the ahkam al-shar'iyyah. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, following the legislation. So this is the clarification of that. And likewise, the proper way in order to do that is to seek the aid and the help of Allah. And this is also from the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, from the worship of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. After that, we have information and news about the previous nations and the stories of the prophets and messengers, and likewise the righteous. Where is that? And the Al-Umam As-Sabiqa. Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, Sirata Alladhina An'amta Alayhim. Those whom Allah guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed your blessings upon. Who are they? They're the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous. Naam, the prophets and the martyrs and the righteous. And this is the affair mentioning those previous nations and how they have the blessing of Allah and the support and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal. غَيْرَ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Not the way of those who have earned your anger. The Prophet clarified sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they are the Jews. That they are the Jews and those yani who resemble them. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. And likewise, وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. The people who have went astray. And they have been clarified in the Sunnah likewise in that they are the Christians and those who resemble them and those who worship Allah without knowledge. The Jews, they have knowledge and they do not apply it or comply to it or abide by it. Rather, they sold it and they use it to gain the dunya. And as for the misguided ones, then they try to worship Allah, but they have no knowledge. And therefore, likewise, is a summarization of the people here and the previous nations. And all of this is found in Surat Al-Fatiha. Surat Al-Fatiha. So this is any indication of the greatness of this chapter. Some things that the people of knowledge, they mention, is that it should be known and that the people's attention should be drawn to the fact that in the Fatiha there is supplication. The Fatiha, it contains a supplication. And also from the benefits of Al-Fatiha, it's clarifying how to supplicate. And that is, before supplicating and asking for one's needs, one will first praise Allah and magnify Him and mention Him by His beautiful names and attributes, drawing near to Him in this manner, calling on Him and seeking nearness to Him by mentioning His praise and mentioning His favors and blessings and mentioning His greatness and calling on Him by His names and His attributes, and then after that, asking for one's need. And this is likewise found in the Fatiha. But it should be known that this is a supplication. Rather, it's the greatest supplication, and it's supplicating for the greatest thing and the best of all blessings. And that is to have guidance to the straight path. To have guidance to the straight path, the path of Anabiyin, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada'i, wa Salihin, wa Hasuna Ula'ika Rafiqa. And it to be upon that way and upon their way, and to be saved from the other ways. That's why we say after the Fatiha, Ameen. Ameen. It preceded what this means, huh? What does Ameen mean? Uh-huh. Allahumma istajib. Allahumma istajib. Oh Allah, answer. Respond to us. Answer our supplication. That's what Ameen means. Allahumma istajib. And istajib du'a'ana. And he respond, answer our supplication. Answer our supplication. So a believer, he should remember, for example, that if you call on Allah Azza wa Jal and you ask for something, and that your heart is hoping to obtain it, that your heart, the Fatiha, and the Fatiha, when you say it, the believer, he wants something. Somebody who supplicates, he wants something. Somebody, for example, in the affairs of the dunya, if he's going to go to somebody and ask him for something to help him or to loan him some money, he's going to ask him and he wants something. In his heart, he wants it. And so he's going to ask for that. So this is an issue of asking, and the point. Barakallahu fikum. So he's asking Allah. So we shouldn't just be in the Fatiha like this and running through the Fatiha, then Ameen, and the heart is not asking for nothing. Rather, the heart is preoccupied and thinking about the dunya. No, the heart is asking, ihdina. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. It's a supplication. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, udu'u allaha wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. That you should call on Allah while you have certainty that He will respond. Meaning, know that He hears you, and know that He's powerful and strong, and know that He's kind and merciful, and that He gives from His grace and bounty, knowing that He will respond, and hoping that He will respond. Call like this. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِرٍ لَهُ. And you should know that Allah, He does not accept a supplication from a heart that is heedless and preoccupied. From a heart that is heedless and preoccupied. So the Fatiha is supplication. In the Fatiha is a supplication. And the beautiful manner that leads up to that. And not only is it supplication, it's the greatest supplication. And from that which indicates that, the fact of this hadith, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. There's no prayer. There's no prayer. The prayer is not correct if he didn't make this supplication. And so therefore, this is the only supplication that it's an obligation for every Muslim to learn and to say every single day. Rather, how many times should he say it every single day? He must say it 17 times a day, at least. At least, as an obligation. as an obligation. And if he recited, and if he prays the sunan and the likes like this, and a sunan al-rawatib, and then after that al-duha, and the other prayers that are also recommended, and the night prayers, so on and so forth, even more. But 17 times a day as an obligation to make this supplication. And another importance of the greatness of the Fatiha and the greatness of this supplication and the need that we have and for guidance. And also the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal to remind us about this affair 17 times a day. He's going to go in the morning and remember. And maybe he's going to be occupied throughout the day and get caught up in the dunya, but before dhuhr time he's going to remember. Or by dhuhr time again he's going to remember. Hadina, I'm trying to go to the straight path. I'm trying to be on this. Oh Allah, help me stay on the straight path. And this is the meaning. Somebody said, how come you asked to be on the straight path and you're already a Muslim? Because if somebody's already guided to the straight path, now he has to have steadfastness on the straight path. And a believer, likewise, not only does he have to have guidance through the straight path, but guidance upon the straight path. And this is very important. And many of the Muslims, they have guidance through the straight path, alhamdulillah. But many of them, likewise, do not have guidance upon the straight path. And you find them falling into much corruption and evil. They're still Muslims, and they have guarded their Islam, alhamdulillah, but it's deficient and weak. And because of that, that is because of the lack of detailed guidance that has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, yani clarifying the great importance and the status and rank of this surah. And every believer now should realize and remember the importance of learning the meanings of a Fatiha. And learning some of the fawaid and the benefits that are derived from there. And learning the general meaning and the general understanding that is contained therein. And the manhaj that is laid out in the Fatiha for those who are successful. And he following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, because the meaning of those who are on the straight path, and yahdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. If somebody said, who's on that straight path? The next verse says, sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have bestowed your blessings upon, the path of those whom you have bestowed your blessings upon. If somebody said, who are they? Who are the ones that Allah has bestowed his blessings upon? What is the answer? No, that's not the answer. Allah Azza wa Jal, he clarified this verse in Surah An-Nisa. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he says, وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنَامَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. First and foremost, a general clarification. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they are in the company of those whom Allah has bestowed His blessings upon. And then he mentions Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in detail who they are. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين, from the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. وحسن أولئك رفيقا, and how good and great is this companionship. So therefore the path of those whom Allah has bestowed his blessings upon, the straight path, that is the path of the prophets and the leader of the prophets, Imam al-Anbiya, نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, والصديقين, وإمام الصديقين أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه, والشهداء and سيد الشهداء حمزة رضي الله عنه, but also from the شهداء عمر and عثمان, عمر and عثمان and Ali. الله أكبر. You see the obligation of following the companions now in the فاتحة, in the فاتحة. And the Salihin and the rest of the companions, they all fit that description best. And those who follow them after that. And those who follow them after that. So even in the Fatiha, we have the clarification of the straight path. And what is the straight path? And who is the straight path? And that is to follow the Prophet and his companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who followed them. This is all in the Fatiha. And so again, it's very important to learn these affairs and that which is found in the benefits of Al-Fatiha. From the benefits of Al-Fatiha, likewise the clarification of Arkan Al-Ta'abud Al-Qalbiyya, the pillars of the worship of the heart. The pillars of the worship of the heart is found in Al-Fatiha. What are the pillars of the worship of the heart? The three. True worship. And the body worships, but if the heart's not worshiping along with the body, it's not true worship. And for the heart to be worshiping, it has to have three affairs. Whenever the heart's worshiping, then the body is really worshiping. Huh? So the essence and the soul and the life of ibadah, it begins in the heart. And that worship has three pillars. Arkan al-ta'abud al-qalbiyya, the three pillars of the worship of the heart. المحبة والخوف والرجاء. المحبة والخوف والرجاء. يعني love and fear and hope. These are the three pillars of the worship of the heart. And if they're not present, then the worship of the body is not present. It's heedlessness. The worship will be considered heedlessness. Whatever it is, salat, or khutbah, seeking knowledge, charity. That if a person, he does it with his body, but his heart is not involved, then this is not true worship. And the essence of worship begins in the heart, with the remembrance of Allah. وَاقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. And it's the purpose of the prayer. And all of the acts of worship is to remember Allah, and to remember His greatness, and to remember His bounties, and to remember His blessings, and to remember His promise, and to remember His threat, to remember His meeting, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart, it has to worship along with the body. Rather, the foundation of worship is in the heart. The foundation of the worship is in the heart, and it has pillars, and there are three, and it starts with love. Loving Allah. And this is the foundation about Islam. Loving Allah. Loving Him more than one loves his own soul and self, and more than one loves the entire creation. More than one loves the entire creation. And this requires to show preference to the command of Allah, and that which Allah has ordained and legislated and ordered, and to abide by His Sharia. And this requires to learn that. To learn that. And someone who truly loves Allah, he will learn the ways that lead to Him. Naam, subul as-salam. The ways that lead to His pleasure and His legislation. And likewise, the one who truly loves Allah, he will also learn the ways that lead away from His pleasure and to His anger. And this is the issue here. So the one who loves something, yani in general, from the dunya, if he loves something, what does he do? He hopes to be near it and have more of it, right? Somebody who loves money, what is he like? His love for money causes him to want to be near money, to have money close to him, ready, available. Sah? Or he doesn't mind. He loves money, but if he truly loves the money, he would like to have it close to him and available for him. Whenever he wants it, he can get it and he can reach it, and it's in his reach, right? And also, if he loves something also like money, he's afraid that it will not be with him. He's afraid that it will be taken from him, or that it will be removed from him, or he will not be able to find it or not be able to get it. Like this. So this is the case with the dunya. So likewise, yani similar, yani in this affair, whenever a believer, he loves Allah, then he will hope to be close to Him. Then he will hope to be close to Him. And he will hope to have the love of Allah. He loves Him, and he will hope that Allah loves him. Therefore, he will do what it takes and what is required for him to do the things that are pleasing to Allah, hoping for the love of Allah for him, because he loves Allah. And at the same time, he will be afraid. He will be afraid that Allah did not accept from him, and that Allah will not love him, and that Allah will not help him and aid him. And he will be afraid of this affair. And this is how he will worship Allah. And he will move like this. And he will move like this. So therefore he prays. Why? Why does he pray? Because he loves Allah. Ahsant. Because he loves Allah. The foundation of the deen, al-Islam, it revolves around this. Loving Allah. He prays because he loves Allah. And he's hoping for the blessing of Allah, and the reward of Allah, and the help of Allah, and the aid of Allah, and the favor of Allah, the mercy of Allah, the pleasure of Allah. That's why he prays. How also he prays? Because he's afraid of the anger of Allah, and the threat of Allah, and the punishment of Allah, and that Allah would abandon him and leave him and not help him. He's afraid of that. So he prays like this. He prays like this. He gives money like this. He gives charity. He's not heedless. He's not heedless. The true worship, the true charity, is the one that comes like this. What is the foundation of this affair? Al-Mahabbah. Where does it begin? Al-Dhikr. We talked about it in the closing class. Do you remember Allah? Some people, they forget Allah, then they forget themselves. Do you remember Allah and His blessings and His favor and all of these affairs? The remembrance of Allah is the foundation. The remembrance of Allah is the foundation. When one remembers Allah and remembers that His hands is beneficial and they're from Allah, and that His tongue is beneficial and it's from Allah, and that there are other people that they have tongues but they can't use them, or they have hands and they don't work for them, but His hand is working good. Isn't all from a blessing from Allah? Then what would He do? These are bounties and favors from Allah that He is calling us, and he, with all these blessings, to love Him. يَتَوَدَّدُ إِلَيْنَا بِهَذِهِ النِّعَمُ وَالْآلَى. He's giving us all these good things. The one who has good from somebody, he naturally will love that person and honor him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us all of our good, all of the good that we have, and all of the harm that we're saved from. And so therefore, a believer, he remembers Allah, and then now his love increases for Allah. The more he knows Allah azza wa jalla, the more he will love Him. The more he learns about the bounties and blessings of Allah, the more he will love him. The more he learns about the names and attributes of Allah, the more he will love him. The more he learns about the kindness and the mercy of Allah, the more he will love him. The more he learns about the power and the strength of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the more he will love him likewise. And he will draw near to him. And he will draw near to him. He will worship Allah in this manner. With al-muhabbatu wal-khawfu wal-raja. With love and fear and hope. Okay, this is found in the Fatiha. Where? Al-Mahabba is Alhamdulillah. All praise and thanks is for Allah. And he's praising and thanking Allah. The scholars, they say Hamd is praising and thanking, but it's not truly Hamd, that's worship, unless it's coupled with love. Alhamdu wa thana ala Allahi azza wa jal ma'a al-Mahabbati wa ta'zeem. To praise him, to say Alhamdulillah, but based upon love and magnification and honor and respect. So therefore, this is the issue here indicating this. All praise and thanks is for Allah because he's the Lord of the worlds. All of this belongs to him. He's the creator of all things and the bestower of all things. And the one has given everything his shape and his form. And all the good that we have is from him. He's the Lord of the worlds. Alhamdulillah. There's love there. There's love there. Before that. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahim. This is the most gracious, the most merciful. What is that? What happens to the heart whenever one hears this? He starts to hope for the mercy of Allah. He starts to hope for the great vast mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he is the most gracious and the most merciful. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And he has special mercy for the believers. What is the reality of that special mercy? The special mercy he has for the believers. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. الرَّحْمَةَ الْإِيمَانِيَة. The mercy with regards to faith and guidance. With regards to faith and guidance. So whenever, but there are other people that don't have that. They don't have that mercy from Allah. So therefore, a believer is hoping to have that mercy and to keep that mercy and to get more of that mercy and more of that guidance, more of that blessing, more of that goodness from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Fatiha. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, the master of the day of judgment. To remember that there's a day of judgment, a day of reckoning, a day of recompense, a day whenever the scales will be set up, the scales of justice, and the people, they will see their actions. And there's not even a small ant's weight of good, but the people will see it. Or a small ant's weight of evil, except that the people will see it. And whoever his scale of good deeds are heavy, he will have a pleasant life. And whoever the scale of deeds is light, he will have... he will have... أُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. Then he's going to be head first in the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Which two surahs am I referring to? Zalzala and Al-Qari'ah. These are explaining Al-Fatiha. They all return back to Al-Fatiha. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.